Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our flesh and blood brother, dear fellow redeemed in his blood, do you still have the Christmas spirit, or has your Christmas joy experienced a letdown? If the Christmas joy isn't quite as fervent in your hearts today, let me ask, why is that? Did your Christmas joy depart after the Christmas presents were all opened from beneath the tree? I admit I enjoy giving gifts, and when that whole process is over, I feel kind of a letdown. Is a Christmas tree with nothing under it kind of a downer for you? Did your Christmas joy never really reach its climax this year because of everything? Was it the fact that there wasn't much snow on the ground? Did it seem a little strange, a little difficult this year to get into the Christmas spirit with the lack of normal Christmas events? Did your Christmas joy depart when you had to get up and go back to work? Have the Christmas carols and songs that once buoyed your heart leading up to Christmas suddenly seem a little out of place? A little old? Does your Christmas joy die with the tree? Is your Christmas joy gone when the decorations are taken down and the tree drug out of the house? One thing's for sure, feelings and emotions come and go, rise and fall, and yes, our surroundings affect them. But if Christmas is all about the purchasing, wrapping, and giving of gifts, there's bound to be a letdown. If Christmas is only about the nostalgia brought on by the sights and sounds of the season, then when these things are removed, no doubt feelings go away. If Christmas songs and carols already seem a little out of place, then perhaps we should listen a little more carefully to the words and refocus upon the gift of the Father's Son. After all, Christmas gifts break and are forgotten. Christmas trees die, decorations come down, life goes on. And our joy will fade too if it comes only from these things. On the other hand, if we rejoice and mark the season because of the fact that the Son of God became human in order to nullify the power of Satan and to release us from bondage to the fear of death, why then, that joy will never go away. We need only return to the scriptures and we will find that the smoldering embers of our Christmas joy will again glow and burst into flame. May God the Holy Spirit therefore renew our Christmas joy by reminding us why the Son became our human brother and what he therefore accomplished. Let's look again at the gift that's been given to us, which never breaks, never fades, and is guaranteed to lift our spirits. Amen. No doubt you've all heard the expression, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's true of our bodies. If you stop exercising and don't watch what you eat, if you lead a sedentary lifestyle, you'll likely gain weight. Look at me. It's true of our minds. If you stop using your mind, if you figure you know all that you need to and instead camp in front of the television all day long, you'll stop growing and learning. It's true of our faith. If we don't return again to the Word of God on a regular basis, we'll never come to a full understanding of what God has done and, more, what God has promised to do for each one of us. In the verses that open this second chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, God urges those Jewish Christians and also us to pay close attention to what they had heard, lest they drift away from it and lose it altogether. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We will most certainly lose our Christmas joy if we drift away from the Word of God. If God held Zechariah accountable for doubting the words of God brought to him by an angel, what will happen if we neglect the message of salvation announced by the Lord himself in his word and testified to in time past by signs and wonders, by miracles? If we are to know true Christmas joy, then we dare not drift away from the word. After all, we were not on hand to witness those miracles. We haven't seen Jesus with our own eyes as the supreme ruler of this world. For the Jesus that we see pictured in the gospel is the Jesus of humility, the Jesus of humiliation. It was necessary that Jesus humble himself in this fashion to redeem us. And the first way in which he humbled himself was by taking on human flesh and blood. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Now we are all the children referred to by these words, even the oldest among us. We are the result of the choices that our fathers and mothers, our parents, made. We didn't have a say. We didn't have a role in our conception. We didn't decide to be flesh and blood. When it says here that the children have partaken of flesh and blood, it pictures the fact that these bodies are, in a sense, an inheritance received from our parents. We are flesh and blood because our parents before us were flesh and blood. And we are like our parents in makeup and in nature. We not only resemble them and may from time to time sound like them, we are flesh and blood, mortal, like they were. We didn't choose it. That's not an excuse. While we didn't have a choice, the Son of God did. The eternal Son, equal in power with the in majesty with the Father, the Holy Spirit, was not flesh and blood by nature. He chose to be, in accord with the Father's plan. And when it says here that he shared in our flesh and blood, a different word is used than of the fact that we have partaken in flesh and blood. He was human like we are, but his entrance into the human race was much different than ours. He was not the product of Mary and Joseph's love for each other. He was conceived not in the natural way, but miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. Joseph didn't play a role. That was the only way that he could share in our human flesh and blood without also sharing our corrupt human nature, to be born a sinful human being. Let's not forget that the infant Jesus that we picture and sing about being born in Bethlehem was really human, like us, but perfect and without sin, unlike us. We celebrate the fact that he shared in our humanity. Why? Why did he partake of flesh and blood? The Holy Spirit tells us right here in simple language. Everyone can understand. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Now what do we pray for when we find out we're going to have children? Well, we pray that they're healthy. We pray that God make them his children by granting them faith and baptism. We continue to pray for them throughout life, asking that God direct their lives and grant them a godly spouse and grant that they might find their place in life. We have high hopes for our children. But I doubt that any of us think about the fact that they will also one day die. We just as soon not think about that. But the infant Jesus' purpose in being born was to die. That's why he shared in our flesh and blood. That's the reason he became, as it says here in the letter to the Hebrews, a little lower than the angels. The reason he became flesh and blood is for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That sure sounds like a downer, doesn't it? Nothing like being born to die. To taste death for us all. That through death, his own, he might destroy, that is, nullify, put out of commission, the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, what's that mean when it says that the devil has the power of death? Does he really have the power of death? Well, not in the sense that he decides who will live and die. That's not his decision. As a matter of fact, God himself decides who will live and who will die and when. But it was the devil, in tempting Adam and Eve, who brought sin and death into the world. And it's in that respect that he's said to have the power of death. And it's because of sin that death has put in a claim on every one of us. If we've gotten into the habit of downplaying and minimizing our sins and the sins of our children, then the news that Christ came to nullify the might of Satan and death may seem to be of little consequence to us. If we don't understand that we have deserved death in hell because of our sin, then the message of the Savior's birth may only result in a lukewarm response and no real or lasting joy. We deserve to die, to spend eternity apart from God. But Jesus came to be one of us, that through death our accuser should be silenced and sin and death put out of commission. You know, people today ask, what did Christ's death really accomplish? Because normally when someone dies, nothing positive comes out of it, or at least not from a human point of view. But God himself here answers the question. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If we're honest about it, we are all naturally afraid of dying. We're also afraid of having to give an account before the judge on the last day. We're afraid because our consciences reveal our sin and our guilt because of the law written in our hearts. We have good reason to be afraid because of who and what we are, sinners. That's why the message that creates real, lasting Christmas joy is to be found in Christ, who took our sins and our punishment upon himself and bore the consequences of our rebellion. He died bearing our sins so that we would be forever set free from the fear of death. Now, for us, fear is just the door through which we must all pass into everlasting life. Christ has taken the sting of death away. For all sin is forgiven through faith in him, and the sting of death completely nullified. So lights, trees, decorations, and songs have indeed become part of our Christmas celebration. There's nothing wrong with that. But real lasting Christmas joy won't come from those external trappings. They may from time to time remind us of our true Christmas gift. But real lasting Christmas joy comes from God's gift of his son Jesus, who entered into human flesh by choice, who chose to taste death for us all, to nullify Satan's accusing power and to take away our fear of death. May our Christmas joy always come from the Word made flesh, the Christ child himself. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.